What's up, network? It's Adam again, and we're actually live from TPNX right now as we speak. And the place is bonkers. The show is going off without a hitch, at least as far as everybody knows. And we're trying to get some guests to come on, and I got one. I got an old buddy of mine, Mike Bell. He's a Delta pilot. He works for the Delta Airline Pilots Association, also known as our union. And he has graciously offered his time to join me. Mike, how's it going?
Yeah, good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Dude, I'm so happy. So Mike and I go way back, and we had to do some chatting to get ALPA to come down. And when they agreed, Mike said, hey, is there any chance that I can join? And lo and behold, here he is.
Yeah.
Get to see me in all my glory, right?
I love it. It's a great show, by the way.
Dude, awesome. Good, man. Have you gotten a chance to talk to some just... I mean, regular Joes who have no idea what union work's all about.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually. Good question. I'm getting a lot of guys coming to the booth, guys and gals, obviously, coming to the booth, and they're asking, you know, simple questions like, what is it that your union does, or what does a union do in general? So it's been really interesting. A lot, particularly the military guys who didn't come from a regional background, they don't really know what an airline union can do for them. So where I thought I was going to be getting asked, you know, really highly technical questions, I was getting really general questions, which was great, you know, because I can, you know, I can explain what unionism is to someone who's never experienced it.
Well, and both of us came from that exact
right.
background. Had no, I remember my first job, they were like, yeah, you're part of this union. And I'm like, all I knew about unions was my dad working at Miller Brewery for 25, 30 years. I had no utter clue what an airline union was, because it is significantly different than the UAW or all of the AFL-CIO, all those kind of things.
Yeah, well, we fall under a completely different set of laws. You know, we fall under the Railway Labor Act as opposed to the National Labor Relations Act, which is two different sets of laws. So we do our negotiations different. We represent differently. It's a whole different ballgame with airline unions.
Yeah. Now, how did you get started in union work? Because it's not something like you show up your first year. You're kind of a bag of smashed, you know what's trying to figure out what you're doing for the first year, especially when you come from a place like the military where you've never been pushed off a gate before. And then lo and behold, here we are all these many years later, and you're big time union man. How does one get involved in doing something like that?
Yeah, so I probably went about it a strange way compared to what most guys do. You know, most people get involved just by, you know, just general volunteerism. They want to help out their fellow pilot, and they get involved in different committees, whether it's the training committee or scheduling committee or, you know, stuff like that. I saw an opportunity to run for an elected representative position, and I knew who the captain rep was, and we spoke on the phone and, you know, in person a couple of times, and he said, hey, you know, would you be interested in running for this position? And I said, yeah, I would. So I got elected to my position about a year and a half ago, and that was my first taste of ALPA work, as it were. And it's been really a really interesting experience for me. You know, I have a leadership background just like you. I was in the Yep. military as well. I was in the Marine Corps. And so now this is a whole different leadership game. But, you know, that's how I got involved, was straight into the representational game. And, you know, it's been extremely fulfilling. But I'm, you know, it's a steep learning curve for me as well, because I didn't know much about how the union worked internally. But I, you know, the reason I got involved was I flew with a lot of great captains early on at Delta, and guys who were former Northwest and who had done some union work, and a lot of them kind of talked it up. And I said, you know, this sounds like something I would be good at, or I would be interested in at least. And, you know, jury's still out on whether I'm good at it, but at least it's interesting.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, it's that I think a lot of, especially military types and those who wanted to serve but couldn't, like, they got that service bone in their body. And it's a good way to kind of fulfill that void to go out and volunteer and work for your fellow pilot. And well, the Pilot Network's whole motto is pay it forward. And if you can't do it one way, you can do it another way. And union work is a great way to do that. And like you said, and I've done some small union work too. And a little bit of volunteerism goes a long way. You'd be surprised at what difference you can make in somebody's life by a simple phone call or chatting with them.
You know, it's interesting. Early on in my career, a lot of guys, you know, would say the same thing. Like, I think everyone should do something, you know, during their career. Do one extra thing. And if it's volunteering for the union or if it's being an instructor or being a line check airman or working in your chief pilot's office or being a mentor, everyone should just do one thing, even if it's a short period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is my thing.
This is your one.
This is my one thing.
You know, and furthermore, since we're at a hiring fair, so to speak, with TPNX, makes a lot of sense to think about, well, that one thing can lead to a lot more in as far as your resume looks, that breadth of experience that the airlines are looking for, because the reality is all these airlines here are looking for great pilots, and by and large we all do that. Where safety is non-comparable in the industry. That's what we do. So that's kind of a known fact. What isn't known is your drive, your work ethic. What more do you want to do to be a brand ambassador? And whether that is working for the company in a myriad of different roles, like we have right in front of us, right, is the Delta booth.
Yep.
And the recruiters that do this isn't their full-time gig. They fly the line and they come do this on the side. And that's the same with the union work. So it's giving of yourself a little bit and seeing that grow into more and more. And then also just your fellow pilots really appreciate it. I do. I mean, I've talked to my union reps. I've talked to you just about all sorts of stuff, whether it's union related, other companies, the industry at whole, stuff that we're doing with TPN, just get bouncing ideas off you. And with you having that experience talking to all these other people, it's helped me greatly. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's interesting. I've talked to a lot of folks today who are at a regional carrier. And, you know, a lot of them come up to me and ask me about union work and, you know, whether or not I thought it was, you know, worthwhile. I'm like, yeah, of course it is. You know, you can give back while learning more about the business. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people, you know, the common misconception is, well, I work for my union, so therefore I must hate my company. And it's completely opposite of that. I love my company. I just want to make it better.
Yeah.
And I want to help out my fellow pilot in the process. And that's really what this comes down to. You know, you can volunteer for your company, you can volunteer for your union, but it's in the end, it's all about helping your fellow pilot become, you know, a better version of themselves.
Yeah.
And helping them navigate this strange career that we have.
Oh, dude, strange is understatement. It's funny, you see all these folks walking around looking for these dream jobs, and some of them are a little more buttoned up than others, kind of playing their cards close to their chest. But the reality is it is a job that takes kind of a special person to be there, and the reason is it's just it's such a unique industry. I always said it's like being a rock star without the fame and the fortune, and you go live this wild life of being on the road. I mean, wild is sometimes you see the inside of a hotel room for 12 hours straight, and that's all it is. But the reality is you're on the road a lot. You're away from your friends, your family. You miss things, and to have that support network, not only your union, but places like the Pilot Network and other associations that are out there, is something that I think we can all strive to give a little bit back to, because let's be frank, we've gotten a lot out of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, not only the most of us started with a passion for aviation, and as things roll forward in your career, that may wane, it comes and goes, but we have gotten a great paying job, something that's fun to do, something that other people pay to do, and to pay it forward and to help those younger generations, and even not the younger folks. There's plenty of older people out there who are not ready for retirement, or they don't know that next step, or they've had some missteps, or things have not gone their way. And to be able to help them with just stuff like union or medical, we've got folks here who are helping with that. Those are the things I think that we can continue to pay it forward and get that help out there, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I had the other day I was sitting around and I said, you know, we always talk serious stuff in this podcast. Not always serious, but it's a lot hiring and things that people are they get wound up about. And I say, I gotta take a little break from that. So I wrote down a couple things I wanted to ask a couple people. So the first one, knowing what Mike has flown, is who's got the better lav, the Boeing or the Airbus?
Well, it's an astute question. I'd say as long as you're junior to me, then the Airbus probably has the better one. But if you're senior to me, then it's the Boeing all the way, of course.
Well, all right. I'll have to say, after flying the 747 freighter, that thing was the Cadillac. It was like being in my bathroom at home. It was big. You walk out, the galley's right there. So it was like, finish your business, grab a cup of coffee, head back up to the seat. And when I was there, it was also like, get 15 sandwiches and gain 12 pounds every single leg you're on. All right, so next one. And I'm going to say Biscoff cookies are off the table. You can't use those. What's the best airline snack that's out there?
Ooh, that's a really good question. So on the international side, from time to time, we get international snacks. And for a while, when we were going to Europe, we were getting these these half chocolate, half wafer bars that were absolutely no good for you, but but they were good, and you would get you a pretty good sugar rush if you had one of those. That was probably my favorite one. But I'm always a traditional almond guy.
Oh, you're just
I like the almonds.
Little almond for you. So when I was at Atlas, and I have to go back to this. I wouldn't even say this is a snack. This is more of a meal. When you used to fly out of Quito, Ecuador, they had this thing called they had this shrimp ceviche they put on the airplane, and I'm like, really, dude, airport shrimp ceviche? I don't know if I'm going to eat this. And it would come with popcorn around it. And I remember the first time I got it, I ate the ceviche. I was like, oh, it's pretty good. And these guys are like, dude, did you put the popcorn in there? I'm like, what? I go, that sounds gross, man. Like, put the popcorn in next time. Next flight out of Quito, sitting there, throw the popcorn in. Game changer.
It's a different experience.
Game changer. It was awesome. I would like, anytime I saw a Quito, like, I'm like, come on, baby. And then, of course, they would shift my schedule, and off I went to all four corners of the earth.
There you go.
All right. This one is going to be probably tougher to answer. Who's got the best lineup of drinks? Alcoholic or non-alcoholic, doesn't matter. And you can say your own company on this one.
It's a really good question. So I haven't flown many other companies, yeah. So I don't honestly know. But I do know that I have seen my company with these cans of like an old fashioned type of thing.
Oh yeah.
I enjoy an old fashioned from time to time. Yeah, so I've seen those. I'm like, it's a nice little drink. I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny because we can look at them, right?
But yeah, we can. You can't look at them. You don't ever get to touch it. That's right.
Yeah, and it was fun when I got to. I flew down here, revenue passenger, paid for by myself to get down to TPNX. I flew Southwest down here. And it was early, and I was like, all right, I got to lock in for a bunch of other stuff, so I couldn't have anything to drink. And I looked, and they had this IPA that I had never seen before, and I'm like, I think on the way home, I'm gonna splurge.
You know, one thing I will add to that is Japan Airlines apparently has like this floral drink that you get at the end of like a really long flight that is apparently really invigorating. I have never enjoyed that because I've never gotten to go on Japan Airlines, but apparently they have a really good one.
All right, so there you go, folks. Book your JAL tickets tomorrow.
That's right.
Just for that, to fly over to Tokyo, fly back. In fact, just to in the beginning of all of this TPNX, I asked. And I don't think you were standing out there yet. There's the big line form for registration, and I said, "Hey, who's got my who came the farthest distance?" And one guy raised his hand in the back. He's way in the back, and I said, "All right, where are you at? Where are you at?" And he was Tokyo.
Ooh.
So he came from Tokyo to Orlando to come to TPNX. That is that's the new winner. Last year Oman was the winner, so this year it's Tokyo.
I hope that dude is at least taking in some of the sights.
I hope, yeah, maybe, you know, like go see the mouse with the ears or go see Harry Potter or whatever. All right. all right. This one, and I know where you fly internationally, so this is limited in scope, but you have a breadth of experience here. What's your favorite airport to fly into? This could be like Ease. It could be, you know, the terminal. It could be whatever.
Oh, man.
And you can't say San Diego.
No, that one's not so good. honestly, I think Nagoya, Japan might be my favorite one.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
It was crazy because you land there, and it's like a 2-minute taxi in, and it's a, you know, it's kind of like a small operation, but there you are in Japan, and it's that one, that's about as far as nice airports go and ease in and out. That's a Nagoya,
okay.
Japan.
All right, I'll take that. That's a good one.
I can tell you what's not easy, and that's Paris.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be a little confusing. I've done back in the old ACMI days, I did quite a bit of weird airport stuff. I landed in Saudi Arabia at like this King something airbase, and it was literally a 12,000 foot runway, 6 hangars, and sand as far as the eye can see. And we're looking in the back, and I'm like, what are we hauling up here? And it was a cookie sheet of like 200 pounds of chocolate.
That's awesome.
From Abu Dhabi. And I'm going, I bet you they're paying a premium for this one. And then we took off from there and went from Saudi Arabia direct to Hong Kong, overflew Iran, Pakistan, India. It was wild, man. It was like you don't have those experiences militarily.
That's an experience that I do not have.
Yeah, that's a lot. For you youngins out there, ACMI is a great place to go for a little while. Some people love it as a career. It wasn't for me, but I get it. To different strokes, different folks. That's one of the best parts about this whole industry is it's like you're almost like an independent contractor because your opinions are all so different. All right, hidden food gems, different airports. I've got one that I got to go with.
Ooh. So I don't know if this one is so hidden, but I love me some Cafe Rio in Salt Lake City.
Oh yeah, that's definitely not.
That's not hidden. Not but hidden. It is really good.
Everybody I know, whoever goes there, they say, I got to go stop by Rio before I go. I'm moving my next flight. So mine is not a restaurant. So in Minneapolis, they have those vending machines. Now they're getting everywhere. They're fresh something vending machines. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get one of these. It was like $9, $10, whatever. And it was like this quinoa salad with chicken on it. And I ate that thing and I was like, I might have to go get another one of these for the flight. It was so good, and it was like it was fresh food. So I go, yes, sign it up. Used to be Einstein Bagels there a long time ago, which isn't hidden. That's not a hidden gem. I mean, Einstein, everybody knows it. But for whatever reason, that airport had like better food, the better Einstein Bagels than anybody else.
You know, Minneapolis is actually a great spot. They've got all kinds of good stuff, and they used to have that whole salad bar, hot bar, cold bar thing. And it's not, they don't do it anymore, but that was the ticket in Minneapolis.
That was my jam at LaGuardia. So I'm getting told by my boss here that I got to wrap it up.
You're an important guy.
We're gonna close shop here with thanking Mike. Mike, dude, it's always good to see you. I'm happy that we're able to come down here, and maybe we'll have another one of these.
Yeah, I could be enticed to come back.
All right, maybe we can entice him to come back.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely, Mike. Thanks again, and everybody, remember, keep the shiny side up, greasy side down. Fly safe, everybody. Yes.